Appendix K, Automatic Identification Technology. AIT is a suite of technologies that enables the automatic capture of source data and enhances the ability to identify, track, and document deploying and redeploying forces, equipment, and personnel. Commanders face many challenges during deployment, and one is maintaining visibility of forces. ITV is intended to provide commanders with the information necessary to track forces from point of origin to final destination. AIT provides timely and accurate ITV data when combined with web-enabled AIS. Effective management of deployment operations can be enhanced with AIT. This appendix outlines the structure and components of AIT and the responsibilities of the participants to maintain visibility of forces during deployment. Significance of automatic identification technology. AIT alone is not the solution for maintaining ITV throughout the deployment and redeployment process. The AIT suite of capabilities significantly improves the accuracy and speed of ITV when combined with AISs, re-engineered SOPs, and staff engaged in force tracking and reporting. These capabilities can provide detailed, accurate, and timely information about the location of personnel, unit equipment, and sustainment cargo as they move from fort to foxhole and back. To produce an accurate force tracking picture for the commander, an AIT network of trained personnel and equipment must be in place at each node of the deployment process to collect and report the data. Moreover, established SOPs must outline the process for the network to capture, report, and transfer the source data necessary to access the resulting force tracking data. The resources of the Assistant Chief of Staff, Personnel, G3 and G4, are brought together to build the force tracking network. The Assistant Chief of Staff Personnel has the responsibility to establish the procedures for collecting personnel data. The G3 establishes the readiness standards and the procedures for reporting force closure. And the G4 has the responsibility to provide AIT devices at appropriate locations to collect deployment movement data. The interrogator and transponder devices capture and report data as the equipment arrives and departs each node when RFID tags or military shipping labels are interrogated or scanned. The data is passed at preset intervals, usually 1 hour, to a local AIS, and then to web-enabled ITV servers. Personnel data is collected through the use of smart cards that are scanned as personnel arrive and depart each location. This information will also be passed to the local AIS and then to the appropriate web-enabled AIS. AIT is a suite of technologies enabling the automatic capture of data. It enhances the ability to identify, track, document, and control materiel, deploying and redeploying forces, equipment, personnel, and sustainment cargo. AIT encompasses a variety of data storage/carrier technologies, such as barcodes, magnetic strips, integrated circuit cards, optical laser discs, compact discs, satellite tracking, and RFID tags used for marking or tagging individual items, equipment, air pallets, or containers. See JP4-01 for a more detailed discussion of ITV and AIT. RFID is an automatic identification method, relying on storing and remotely retrieving data using devices called RFID tags or transponders. An RFID tag can be applied to or incorporated into a product, animal, or person for the purpose of identification using radio waves. Some tags can be read from several meters away and beyond the line of sight of the reader. Most RFID tags contain at least two parts. One is an integrated circuit for storing and processing information, modulating and demodulating an RF signal, and can also be used for other specialized functions. The second is an antenna for receiving and transmitting the signal. Configuration. RFID combines the features of a portable data collection device, a two-way radio, an interrogator, and a transponder. RF tags contain information that can range from a permanent identification number to item-level commodity data. Information can be written to tags using a fixed interrogator, a tag docking station, or handheld interrogator. After the initial data is written to the RFID tag, the data is passed from the host AIS to the national ITV server. Once the tag is attached to a piece of equipment, pallet, or container and passes through the system, the interrogator sends out an RF signal that wakes up the tag. The tag then transmits information back to the interrogator. The interrogator communicates with the host computer, which in turn passes the data to the appropriate national ITV server, updating the status. The active RF tag is the key to providing inside-the-box content visibility from a distance without opening the box, container, pallet, vehicle, etc. Unlike a barcode, the RFID tag transmits the information wirelessly without human intervention. An RFID reader slash interrogator reads and writes data to and from the tag. This hands-off capability is what sets RF tags apart from other AIT devices that require some form of hands-on intervention to capture the asset data. The RFITV User's Guide contains current information and photographs of the equipment mentioned in this manual. Various RFITV guidebooks, including the User's Guide, can be downloaded at the website address in the References section. Storage devices. The Army will deploy in a joint environment, and there are numerous AIT devices available within DoD and the Army to support deployment missions. These devices capture and report arrivals and departures to IGC. AIT data storage devices contain or store essential transportation and supply data. It is printed or created and is then attached to equipment. The information on the AIT data storage device is also present in AIS and is passed to web-enabled AIS that provide global asset and movement visibility. The Army currently uses military shipping labels, RFID tags, and other assorted media as data storage devices for deployment. Data storage devices include, but are not limited to, the following. Linear barcode. A barcode can be thought of as a key in the form of a unique number that is coded in a series of black and white bars. The key allows you to enter a database that contains detailed information about the item represented by the key. Linear barcodes are limited in the amount of information they contain and are one-dimensional. Two-dimensional barcode. Two-dimensional barcodes, commonly referred to as 2D barcodes, store data horizontally and vertically, and therefore have a larger storage capacity. Military shipping labels use this format. RF tags. RFID combines the features of a portable data collection device and a two-way radio. RF tags contain information that can range from a permanent identification number to item-level commodity data. Information can be written to tags using a fixed interrogator, a tag docking station, or handheld interrogator. The RFITV Tracking Portal. The RFITV Tracking Portal, or national server as it is sometimes referred to, is the user interface to provide ITV information for in-transit shipments. The RFITV system combines data from the fielded RFID devices and the satellite tracking devices, processes it, and redistributes it to numerous other systems, such as IGC and Global Combat Support System Joint. In addition to the national RFITV server, the Automated Movement and Identification Solutions, AMIS office, maintains and manages a training server. The national ITV server is available via CAC login. It provides the status of in-transit shipments through user-executed queries. Reports can also be created. The address for the website is located in the References section. The training ITV server used for RFITV training can also be used for RFITV testing. Once training and testing is complete, it is important, when uploading tags, to make sure to access the correct server. Log on to the RFITV tracking portal to do a quality check to ensure the tags have been uploaded to the live server. Live tags uploaded to the training server will not be seen on the RFITV tracking portal, and shipments will not be able to be tracked. Be sure to verify which server the tags have been uploaded to accurately track shipments. See the References section for the RFITV Trainer website. Who can benefit from using the RFITV tracking portal? Soldiers, Marines, sailors, airmen. At any time, there are thousands of RFID tags flowing through the distribution pipeline, and the location reports they generate are passed to many systems to provide ITV of sustainment and unit movement operations. Using the RFITV tracking portal with its network of sites and data feed provides ITV data in support of all services. Those who can benefit include supply sergeants. Find the last location of a specific document number. UMOs. Track unit equipment movement throughout deployment. Item managers. Verify arrival of what was sent to the destination. support operations staff, forecast workloads based on inbound shipments, air and seaport operators, monitor container and air pallet shipments, crew chiefs, determine shipment contents. Applications. This technology is used in many industries and is used to track many things. Determining the layout in a military operation depends on what you wish to track and what movement you wish to track. As a minimum, movements must be tracked into and out of the port. The following discussion should not be read as the only configurations that are possible. Installations. A plan must be in place to create a local area network that links each installation deployment node and all headquarters possessing TCAMES 2 and associated AIS. This network must be capable of operating 24 hours a day to support the deployment flow throughout the operation. A direct dial-up capability should be considered if a local area network is not available. In addition to linking all the TCAMES 2 and GCSS Army to this local area network, procedures must be in place to link AIT interrogators that are supporting service AIS. These procedures allow for the automatic capture and transfer of movement data with limited human intervention. Installations have a responsibility to help build a deployment plan for all units and equipment deploying from their location. The information used to develop the deployment plan comes from UDLs and passenger manifests. As movements occur, installations take the data that is rolled up in TCAMES 2 and transmit it to IGC. The installation will be the first location where AIT data storage devices are scanned, interrogated, and verified against data resident in service AIS. Closely checking the AIT data storage devices of the first deploying units provides the installation and deploying commanders with a benchmark to measure how well units are conducting their AIT and mission. Follow-on deploying units can be informed of AIT problems and correct deficiencies before departing the installation. The installation must examine the deployment process and determine the best location to install fixed and temporary AIT interrogators and readers. Possible locations for the installation of interrogators include entry and exit gates, convoy marshaling and staging areas, loading areas, container consolidation points, ammunition supply points, and vehicle scales. SRP sites and passenger holding and staging areas are also possible locations for interrogators and CAC card readers. Installations must plan for the use of handheld interrogators to scan labels attached to equipment. Data capture from the scanned labels is then used to create new RFID tags to restore ITV. Aerial port. The arrival and departure of all unit equipment, personnel, and sustainment air cargo transiting the aerial terminals must be captured in service AIS and reported to IGC. Detailed planning and coordination should be performed before operations detailing AIT requirements at the aerial terminals. The ADAG will coordinate with the United States Air Force for specific AIT requirements, infrastructure, and support to collect and report data on Army unit and equipment arrivals. The ADAG will then communicate the ITV plan for providing and collecting ITV data of their unit equipment and cargo to deploying units. Processing passengers. Passengers moving through an APO can expect to process through a marshaling area and a passenger holding area. Marshaling areas may be located at the home station, the APO, or both, depending on the situation. If the marshaling area was at home station and this is the first time data has been collected on the arrival of passengers at the airfield, procedures must be established to pass this data to IGC. While in the marshaling area, the unit verifies personnel manifests and ensures that all soldiers have a current CAC card. The Army support element controlling the marshaling area will scan the arriving soldier's CAC card for internal accountability and for ITV reporting requirements. Following the correction of any CAC card deficiencies, units should rescan all CAC cards and match the data against the manifest as soldiers depart the marshaling area for the passenger holding area. Normally, the Army and United States Air Force will establish a passenger holding area near the APO that is jointly operated. As soldiers arrive, the Army support element will scan CAC cards and verify the information against the unit manifest. The Army support element will assist in making any final manifest corrections and, when notified, pass control of deploying soldiers to the United States Air Force along with an electronic copy of the personnel manifest. The United States Air Force element will load this electronic data into gates and pass departure data to IGC. Processing unit equipment. Unit equipment proceeds through four areas on or near the APO when processing for deployment: by air marshaling area, by alert holding area, by call forward area, and by ready line and or loading area. There are potential overlapping responsibilities at these locations, and prior coordination is essential to minimize such occurrences. An equipment marshaling area can be located on the installation, in the vicinity of the airfield, or both, depending on the deployment situation. The marshaling area is normally operated by the supporting installation. A plan should be in place that clearly defines AIT responsibilities at the APO. Forcecom has a memorandum of understanding in place with the United States Air Force, which addresses responsibilities at CONUS locations. While in the marshaling area, and with the assistance of the support element, deploying units are responsible for preparing their equipment for shipment to include the proper AIT tagging and marking. The Army support element will capture the arrival and departure data and report it to IGC if the marshaling area is on the airfield. Any problems or deficiencies found with AIT data storage devices should be corrected by the unit before moving to the call forward area. After preparing their equipment for air movement, units will arrange vehicles and equipment in chalk order before movement to the alert holding area. The alert holding area is normally on the airfield and controlled by the ADAG, where they will coordinate operations between the unit and the United States Air Force. In the alert holding area, the ADAG scans the military shipping labels of arriving and departing equipment for internal accountability and control purposes. If the alert holding area is the first place where Army equipment is accounted for on the airfield, this arrival data must be passed on to IGC. The unit should correct any deficiencies before the equipment is moved to the call forward area. This is the last place where Army AIT deficiencies can be corrected prior to air movement. The call forward area of the airfield is under the control of the ADAG. It's where the joint inspection of equipment is conducted and manifests are reviewed for accuracy. The unit and the United States Air Force conduct a joint inspection of all equipment to ensure it is properly prepared for airlift. With assistance of the ADAG, the unit corrects all deficiencies found during the joint inspection. The ready line and loading area is under the operational control of the United States Air Force. The ADAG passes control of Army unit equipment to the United States Air Force at the ready line. The United States Air Force ensures the aircraft is loaded properly and sends aircraft departure and ITV data to IGC via gates. Deploying units, ADAG, and aerial port personnel will probably all have capability to burn and read RF and other tags to facilitate tagging and reading AIT information. Some possible locations that will have interrogators installed would be entry and exit gates to the airfield, marshaling yard, joint inspection area, frustrated cargo yard, ammunition holding area, and unit assembly area. Seaport. The SDDC is the military port manager for all common user water terminals and is responsible for SPO and SPOD operations. Also operating in the port complex will be MSC, the PSA, and the unit. Other possible operators at the port are civilian port managers and operators, as well as the Army port operators and MCT. SDDC coordinates operations between deploying units, MSC, and all activities with the civilian port authorities and operators. SDDC is responsible for installing, operating, and maintaining the AIT network within the port complex. The PSA will use AIT to capture the movement of unit equipment through the port complex and to locate tagged unit equipment in the port area. PSAs constituted from TO&D units will normally have organic AIT equipment, while ad hoc PSAs must rely on the supporting installations for the necessary AIT resources. Processing passengers. A final SPO AIT consideration is capturing the movement of personnel by ship. This can be accomplished by means of support agreements with the Navy or the use of organic unit AIT equipment. Planners must identify the requirements as early as possible to ensure the system is in place to capture the data and transmit it to IGC. Processing unit equipment. Unit equipment transiting an SPO will generally pass through a marshaling area, normally outside the port, and a staging area before vessel loading. Depending on the amount of unit equipment involved, a marshaling area may not be established. The purpose of a marshaling area is to provide a location near the port complex to assemble unit equipment and make final preparations before entering the port. Fixed AIT interrogators, also called readers, can be installed at port entrance and exit gates, marshalling and staging areas, container consolidation points, and off and onload sites established to assist in data capture and internal port control. Captured arrival and departure data will be passed to gate surface and sent to the IGC. The staging area is the final location where equipment is assembled prior to loading the vessel. Equipment is usually lined up by piece type or in the order it is to be moved onto the ship. SDDC will control all equipment departing the staging area for loading on vessels. Normally, the equipment is scanned at the final stowage location, and the data is passed to gate surface and is sent to IGC in the form of a final ship's manifest. Port managers and operators use handheld scanners to collect data from the military shipping labels and transfer the data into gate surface. The data will be used for internal port control of the equipment, to develop the final stow location of unit equipment aboard the vessel, and to prepare the final ship's manifest. Care must be used when establishing the location of fixed RFID interrogators. The interrogator must be properly positioned to capture the arrival and departure of all unit equipment moving past its location, while at the same time not interrogating tags already staged. An interrogator located too close to RFID tags can query tags constantly and drain the tag batteries before the equipment is loaded. Responsibilities. Activities at various echelons have different responsibilities for control, use, and installation of AIT equipment and data. Automated Movement and Identification Solutions Office. Each of the services and U.S. Transcom as the DoD proponent maintain AIT offices. The AMIS office is an Army agency serving as the acquisition and technology proponent for AIT and is responsible for representing DoD interests in AIT-related technical committees of national and international standards bodies. AMIS has a diverse mission to support the Army, DoD, federal agencies, North Atlantic Treaty Organization militaries, and several coalition partners with AIT products and recommended solutions. AMIS provides a single point of contact for procurement, technical expertise, and training across the suite of AIT-enabling technologies that assist the DoD in improving asset visibility worldwide. The AMIS office is most recognized for its management of the world's largest RFID-enabled asset visibility system, the RF In-Transit Visibility RFITV system. For contact information for the AMIS office and to find answers to technical questions online, see the References section. The RFITV User's Guide contains current information and photographs of the equipment mentioned in this manual. Various RFITV guidebooks, including the User's Guide, can be found at the website address listed in the References section. In accordance with AR-700-80, all Army organizations and activities will procure AIT products and services from AMIS. Direct procurement of AIT products and services from commercial sources is not authorized. Army organizations and activities are encouraged to coordinate directly with the AMIS office on any AIT initiatives and offer recommendations to include other value-added AIT products to contracts. Installations. Installations are the mainstay of deployment operations, and there are numerous AIT functions performed by the installation activities that support and enhance deployment. Plans must be in place defining the respective AIT responsibilities to ensure that the most accurate data is entered into the AIS in a timely fashion. The foremost installation AIT tasks are installing and maintaining AIT interrogators, readers, ensuring data is accurate and forwarded within established time standards, confirming units have properly labeled and tagged their equipment and soldiers have a current CAC card, implementing and maintaining an installation business process that is supportive of operations throughout the system. Other AIT issues to be considered in developing an installation plan include location of source data, quality control procedures, funding, support, accountability, and training. Units. Accurate and complete initial source data must be entered in AISs before the deployment begins. For units, this means ensuring that the unit equipment list in TCAMES 2 is accurate and up-to-date. In addition, procedures must be followed to ensure that military shipping labels and RF tags are produced using the data in TCAMES 2. Once produced, these AIT data storage devices must be attached to the proper piece of equipment and then scanned/interrogated to verify readability and accuracy. Commanders must ensure that every soldier has an updated CAC card after completing SRP. For passenger movements, these cards will be used to manifest and account for soldiers at arrival and departure locations throughout the deployment operation. The UMO will use TC-AIMS-2 to create an accurate UDL that identifies all items to be tagged and labeled for deployment. The Brigade Mobility Officer and UMC will review the file. When the review process is complete, the file will be passed to Compass and then to JOPES. One-time capture and passing of source data between AISs is the preferred method for meeting ITV and force tracking timeliness standards. All deployment nodes use this data to update their AISs for ITV. Theater. The Army's use of AIT in a deployment operation will be based on the supported combatant commander's movement control and RSOI plan. The plans will be designed to enable the in-theater distribution systems to meet force closure requirements. ITV plans will vary based on the geographic area of operation, mission requirements, and the supporting transportation and communication infrastructures. The ASCC G4, in coordination with the G3, develops the Army's portion of the theater ITV and RSOI plans. The G4's input to these plans includes the use of AIT and enables executing agencies to properly plan their local AIT requirements. Once source data is verified, plans and procedures must be in place to ensure the information is passed to other necessary AISs, IGC, and other appropriate web-enabled asset tracking systems. After initial source data has been provided to AISs and proper AIT data storage devices have been produced, manual means to input similar information can be avoided. Marking standards. Creating the tags and labels correctly is important, but the effort is wasted if they are not properly fastened to the equipment. It is also advisable to check each tag to ensure the data is readable and the battery is in working order. Positioning tags and labels on vehicles, equipment, and pallets should be in accordance with marking standards. Vehicles. Vehicles will be marked with one RF tag attached to the grille or front of the bumper using nylon zip ties and two military shipping labels. One attached to the left front bumper, driver's side, and one to the left door, driver's door. Containers. Depending on the type of tag used, containers will be marked with one RF tag attached over the door or to the locking bar on the upper right side of the container using nylon zip ties. Two military shipping labels are required, one attached to the door and one attached to the right side of the container as you look at the door. Pallets. Pallets will be marked with one RF tag attached to the side of the pallet using nylon zip ties and two military shipping labels, one attached to the side of the pallet and one on the adjacent side. Ensure that both the RF tag and military shipping labels are on the outside of any protective wrapping. Other items. Other items will be marked with one RF tag attached near a military shipping label with nylon zip ties and two military shipping labels as described in preceding paragraphs. They will be mounted 2.5 feet, 0.762 meter, to 6 feet, 1.828 meters off the ground on vehicles, and 2.5 feet off the ground on items that will be loaded on vehicles for transport. The labels should be placed in protective pouches and positioned so they can be readily scanned. Consolidating unit equipment for movement. AIT interrogators/readers can be used to capture the source data and improve asset visibility of containers, multi-packs, pallets, and other consolidated shipments. As units load equipment into containers or build pallets, the supply accountability barcodes can be scanned using the TC-AIMS-2 handheld interrogator/reader. After the packing is complete, the data can then be used to generate a packing list and written to a data-rich active RFID tag. The RFID tag contains a detailed listing of all the unit equipment consolidated within the container. The RFID tag is then attached to the consolidated shipment for ITV tracking.